Chinese couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies. And Kevin, this is a monumental sort of week.
That's right. There is proof. Proof now exists that I have had sex 3 times.
Right.
At least.
Because previously we only thought it was 2.
Well, or I stole them from some supermarket in suburbia.
Yes, but what we're talking about is there's a new little reject as part of the clan.
That's right. Nicholas Ronan Carr is my 3rd son to be born. This week.
Actually born.
Well, you know, kind of ripped from his mother's belly.
Okay.
So to speak.
Our audience the sick details.
We went in for a C-section on Wednesday, May 7th. And you go in and you come out with a kid. And it's really kind of cool. And
it's like going to the store.
Where do you buy kids at the store? What stores are you shopping at? He's like, oh, you know, I'm looking around for when there's like tsunamis hitting. You can get the kids on sale cheap. I have just
never mind.
Everybody who I just endeared myself to with the story of I have a child is now.
They were like, oh.
What? What is he saying? Anyways, he came out 10 pounds, which if you don't.
Huge.
Yeah, huge for, you know, for a guy
who
doesn't have kids, you don't know that. But you tell any woman who's had children, say he was 10 pounds and his head was 14 and a half inches around, and they're like, oh my God, you gave birth to a toddler.
Yes,
and
he from what I read on
the exclusive
on the exclusive on filmschoolrejects.com, the exclusive sneak paparazzi photos. But from what I read, he was 21 inches in length,
yes,
which puts him almost taller than Vern Troyer.
That's true.
Which that would mean all 3 of your kids are taller than Vern Troyer.
Actually, what I need to do is there's a standee of the Love Guru.
Yes.
At a local theater, and this guy's Vern Troyer, and I need to bring all the kids and just line them up and put Vern Troyer somewhere in the middle. Because I'm pretty sure my oldest
We should definitely do that because I'm sure that'll be up all summer because Love Guru doesn't come out till the end of June.
Yeah. Of course, I don't know how soon I'm going to be bringing Nick in to see a movie. I mean,
we should just go and do that just because.
Just, well, we know
they'll let us in.
We know people.
We know people. We know people. Who know people.
Yeah. But,
you know.
But yeah, he's very healthy. The mom, my wife, the mother's doing very healthy.
Yes.
And, you know, we're. You know, still sort of recovering, and, you know, they have rules. We'll talk about this in the internet-only segment.
Yes.
The rules that you have of the miracle of birth and then what you have to do to be released from the hospital.
Right, right. Well, we're glad that you took time away from your wife who's in the hospital to come record a show with us.
That's right.
So, speaking of our show, if you'd like to get in touch with us.
And who wouldn't at this point?
At this point, I don't think anyone's ever going to want to hear us again.
The hate mail is flying.
Yeah. You can get a hold of us at fatguysthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys the Movies. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail. And if you did, you would be one of the first ones in quite a long time to do so. Area code 614-388-8735. Okay, cool. I'm done.
You know what? I'm going to digress here.
Oh, no.
Because we have not gotten a voicemail.
Right.
I'm going to call the voicemail now and leave ourselves our own voicemail.
Okay.
Is that okay?
If you really want to. I mean, we have to talk about movies.
Start talking about the Biggest Loser reject update.
Well, there's not a whole lot to the Biggest Reject Loser update this week, other than the fact that my weight has not moved at all since the beginning of the contest.
I think the appropriate term is ballooned. I think you gained 36 pounds since last week.
Something like that. Well, what happened was I lost a bunch of weight, and then I gained a few pounds back, and then I just literally haven't done anything. And, of course, this week we have a new low man on the totem pole, I guess.
That would be me.
Yes.
I am now the least fat of everybody.
By 2 friggin' pounds.
Yes. So. But the whole thing is you now weigh more than I do.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
Not for long, though.
And Brian's recovering from having a baby, too. So only his baby was, you know.
Appendicized.
Looked like an appendix. And they threw that one out.
Well, yeah. You know, thank God they didn't throw yours out. I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that mistake to happen.
Right. All right, cool.
Wait, hold on. I got my phone.
We're going to leave
a message. Was it 614? See, I don't even know.
While you're dialing, why don't we play a clip for the next movie?
3-5. All right. I'm.
Now you're listening.
I'm now listening.
Right.
Oh, wait, I gotta hit send.
Oh, jeez.
All right, anyways, it's Ashton Kutcher and Cameron Diaz get married on a whim, win $3 million, and are forced to live happily married until they can keep the cash.
I am freezing the $3 million and sentencing you two to 6 months hard marriage.
Objection.
Welcome home, sweetheart.
If you want me to report that you're both working on your marriage, you're going to actually have to do that.
Marriage is hard.
Almost done.
Men and women are not meant to coexist.
Oh, yeah. This is happening. By the way, it's your day for dishes.
You know what? It just said, here, listen. Here, listen. It's saying it's not a working number.
It's not a working number.
Yeah, I just dialed. Let me try that again.
That's BS, man.
I'm going to try this
Anyways, I'm going to start talking about what happens in Vegas while you figure out the phone number issue.
You do that.
Because it's actually one of those movies that I went into thinking that I wouldn't like it, you know. And I have a feeling that everybody out there is kind of thinking the same thing. It's the same crappy romantic comedy starring Ashton Kutcher. Just substitute Cameron Diaz for Brittany Murphy. But I think what kind of wins it for everybody, at least myself...
Gratuitous sex.
Is not the gratuitous sex that doesn't... It's a PG-13, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I wanted to derail not. You.
It's the supporting cast. You have this the two best friends, which are always there. We have Rob Corddry, who you might recognize from The Daily Show, and Lake Bell from every crappy horror movie that's come out over the last like couple years.
Lake Bell was her dead body.
And she was in something else. I can't remember exactly. How you doing with that phone number?
Well, it's not working.
Oh, okay.
It totally isn't working.
We'll have to try and get that fixed so that people can call
here,
us.
Listen, hold on. I'm pulling.
Oh, jeez.
This is the kind of stuff that most people do. Here, listen, see?
The number you dialed is not a working number.
See, it said it's not working.
Wow.
Okay. Pay up your account, dude. What's going
on?
All right,
well, I'll have to figure that one out.
No wonder no one's called us. We probably have the president trying to call us.
I doubt
it. Be like, I want to know about that. No, that's Bill Clinton. I can't do Bush.
I can't do W either.
I can do Clinton.
I could do his laugh. He just does the
And then you got, you know, George Bush being like, I want to know if Maid of Honor is going to be real as good as you say it would be or bad.
Right. It sucks either way. So what did you think of what happens in Vegas? What are we even talking about?
I was surprised at how much I liked this movie because I
of
was
the
like
the supporting
you.
Cast. Yes.
Yeah, I was like you. I went in thinking it was going to be terrible. It looked awful. And it was funny. And it was clever and cute. And I mean, the stories, the overall plot is very rote and predictable, and you'd expect that. But it works for a romantic comedy. But that's not the really real good part. Although Ashton Kutcher and I think he's kind of underrated. Actually, I think he's a decent actor.
He's not as bad as people would lead you to believe. Like I thought he was good in The Guardian.
Yeah, I mean he can play a variety of roles, and then he has good when he plays sort of the idiot. He's at his peak.
Yeah,
that is his gift, and he does that a lot in this movie. And he and Cameron Diaz work well together, but. The supporting cast really works. They're the ones who make the film work.
Yep. And as I mentioned before, you have Rob Corddry and Lake Bell, who are awesome.
And they Dennises.
And the Dennises, Dennis Miller, Dennis Farina, are both very awesome as well.
It's everything that Maid of Honor shouldn't be.
Or should have wanted to be.
And it wasn't. And I was... This is great counter-programming to the other movie that's coming out this week,
right.
Speed Racer.
Right. Because...
Take a date if you can get one.
If I had a date.
Well, yeah, obviously you don't have a date because all the hordes of women are trying to call. Scarlett Johansson
is probably trying to call our phone number.
That's why she got engaged to Ryan Reynolds, because she couldn't reach you.
Man.
Way to go.
Great.
You're an idiot.
Anyways, what happens in Vegas? Give us a grade.
Oh, Kinda Rocks.
I'm going to say Kinda Rocks as well. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other movie of the week, Speed Racer. Kevin, time to talk about the big movie.
Go Speed Racer.
Yeah.
Go Speed Racer.
It's Speed Racer, and I say big, but it's not like Iron Man big.
Okay. And you know, I have this feeling of deja vu. We won't talk about, but how would you define Iron Man big? Like, is that a real term?
I don't think it's going to do $100 million.
No.
But I mean, Iron Man big would be $100 million.
Okay, so if it's like a movie has an opening weekend of $150 million, that's an Iron Man and a half. If it's $200 million,
yeah. So Spider-Man 3 was an Iron Man and a half.
Yes, and like Titanic would be considered 6 Iron Man.
Probably.
Well, that's its total box office, so it might be. That's just opening weekend, right?
Just opening weekend.
I was trying to get the logo down.
Well, this is the new buzz phrase for the year, whether it's going to be Iron Man big or not.
I've never heard it.
I just created it right now.
Oh, okay, you're starting a trend.
I'm starting it right now.
You do that.
So anyways, it's Speed Racer.
Hey, it's Speed Racer.
It's directed by Wachowski. It's directed by the Wachowski brothers.
Hey.
And here's your clip.
Speed Racer, what are you thinking?
That race was fixed. Someone's trying to crush everything in my life that matters to me. How can we fight this?
The only way you'll ever stop these people is to bring them to justice.
Racing's the only thing I know how to do, and I gotta do something.
Speed Racer, slow down!
So what do you think of this movie, Neil?
I have no idea. Well, all right. So here,
I hear you have a laundry list of things.
I actually, when I was writing my review, it probably could have turned out to be like a 10,000-word review if I really would have gone into it.
Is it a review where you're like, you rant the whole review and then you're like, blah, 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 B plus?
Kind of, but it was B minus. I will preface it by saying it was fun. It's a fun movie, and it's the novelty of the special effects are so cool. You know, the Wachowskis have what I like to call the Peter Jackson syndrome, where they come up with something really cool, like in this case the special effects, or with Peter Jackson it was King Kong, these amazing visuals, but then they don't know really where to stop. And instead of making a 90-minute really cool, you know, very fast-paced, intense kids movie, they make a 2-hour and 15-minute kids movie, and it gives me a headache and makes me feel like I've just run the New York City Marathon when I get out.
Which you have never done.
Which I have never done, but if it's anything like that, I don't ever want to do it.
Do it with a spatula on your foot.
So it is the best way I can describe Speed Racer is it's fun, and there's a lot of cool stuff, and it's probably the most exhausting experience I've had in a movie theater all year.
Wow.
And I could
say a lot of things.
We all know the emotional roller coaster that I was on with Iron Man. Speed Racer was way worse.
Let's preface this by saying that I don't think Neil's been in a movie theater with a woman in at least a year.
Oh, so funny. We
can nice. Remove that whole thoughts in your mind. All those thoughts in your mind.
Yeah, funny. Ha ha.
So you were... Did you have a list? I mean, you sounded like...
Well, that's really it. It was a lot longer than it needed to be, especially for a kid's movie. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 hours and 15 minutes is a long time, and it doesn't feel like a long movie by traditional standards. Like, you don't go into it, and there's no point during the movie where you're sitting there like, God, I wish this would end. But there's way too much plot. There's way too much happening, and I think it really could have done better from a few more cuts. Like, they could have cut about a half an hour to 45 minutes out of the movie, and they wouldn't have lost anything. In fact, they would have gained a little bit in the sense that the movie wouldn't have been such a load to bear for the audience, I guess.
B minus.
But it was fun. Like, it was cool. It was just as cool as I thought it would be. It's just, I think it really wanted to be a kid's movie, but it was a little too much for a kid's movie.
Okay.
Little too much for the little ones. I don't know. You had your kids there. What did you think?
Well, here's what I wanted to hear your take on it, because oddly enough, because I had my kids there during the ending credits, they were running around in front of the screen dancing, right, which they do. That's their thing. And after sitting through a 2-hour and 15-minute movie, they were ready to do that.
Right.
And so I didn't get a chance to chat with people outside afterwards. So I didn't know what you thought. I was curious. And it's, again, we're sort of mirroring each other, which is rare. Usually Neil and I don't right. have
we need
such
a,
similar.
We need a third movie that we can like.
To the point, that you, I even used the same example. I said to some of the other critics I chatted to on the way out that it reminded me of King Kong.
Yeah.
Where when it was on, it was awesome. And when mm-hmm. it was good, it was incredible. Some of the coolest things you will see on a screen this year.
Yeah.
It is intense, it is crazy, and it's a lot of fun. But then there are moments in there where you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
They need an editor. Yeah. And I took my kids. They're almost 5 and almost 7. They have birthdays in June. So they're 4 and 6, but they're really close to 5 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they sat still through it, and because I kind of threatened them that they couldn't go see Narnia if they didn't.
Nice.
But because they had a little bit of trouble sitting through Iron Man, because there were some boring parts. Mm-hmm. No, boring parts to a little kid.
Yeah.
And but one thing I did notice is there were several people with little kids, like 3-year-olds. And 4-year-olds in the mm-hmm. audience that left at some point, like maybe about really? An hour and a half mark.
Hmm.
Not for anything offensive. It's just I think the kids got antsy because there is, like you said, there's a lot of plot in there.
Right.
That's unnecessary. They have a lot of talking scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have a little bit too much racing, but the racing is awesome.
It really is. It's kind of like I don't want to necessarily draw a comparison to Beowulf from earlier this year, but it's very similar in the sense that the novelty of seeing Beowulf in IMAX in 3D was kind of cool for me. But overall, the movie wasn't. Like, I don't know if Speed Racer is going to be a movie that I'm going to get on DVD and really want to watch a lot. Like, I might watch it one more time when it comes out on DVD, but that's it.
I think it would be a great movie for DVD because you could skip through all the talking.
You could. And just get to all the
And it would
scenes.
Still be like an hour and a half long.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, I think the concerns that I had going into it were the casting, you know, Emil Hirsch. I'm not a big fan of Emil Hirsch. And it just looked kind of cheesy and over the top. And I think it works okay for being over the top because it is a kid's movie. And it's totally there are moments that absolutely remind you that it is for little kids. But yeah, I just think the biggest problem is be prepared to go see Speed Racer and be completely exhausted by the end of it.
Well, and it was funny, when I saw King Kong, I took my son, who was, I guess he would have been about four, my oldest son, when that came out, and I went in an hour in.
Yeah.
I literally bought tickets, and I said, I want tickets to the movie, the King Kong, that started 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And she looked at me weird. I go, no, that's the one I want.
Right.
And then I went and got popcorn and made sure we went to the bathroom. Then we walked in right when the ape showed up. Because he doesn't show up until like the first, like a minute 10 or something, like an hour 10 mark. You can't really do that with Speed Racer because it starts off great for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching my kids. They were like pretending they were steering a car and they were totally into it. It just has these pockets of talking in the middle of it. And they kind of have this double climax. Like at the end, they had this great, incredible, visually stimulating masterpiece of a race. And then you're like, whoa, there's like a half hour more of the movie
left.
They have more talking, they find things out, and then they go and have another race, which is just as cool and just as awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The races did go on a little long, but I'll say it was... I'm not going to say not go see this movie, but just be prepared. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes long. Your kids might get antsy. You may want to, when Speed Racer goes to talk to the corporate guy...
You might want to take a bathroom break.
Go take him to the bathroom. Go get something to eat, because you're going to have plenty of time to get back there, because just goes on and
the
on.
The Tim Curry wannabe guy?
Yeah. And at that point, go take a bathroom break. And then also after between the last two big races, after you think you've had the end of the movie and they've got one more race to go, after that happens, go take a bathroom break, because it takes some time.
Yeah.
And they really could have used an editor, and I'm surprised releasing a kids movie at 2:15 is a little bit, hurt it a little bit.
I think it will too, and right now it's not tracking extremely well. I was reading something online on Jeffrey Wells' site this afternoon. That said, it's tracking like the 25 to 30 million range, which isn't that big for a major summer movie.
See, I think,
you know?
Yeah, we'll talk about this more in the next segment about what we think it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as you got to look at it from different perspectives. I was never a big Speed Racer fan,
right.
So it wasn't like trampling on anything.
Right.
I thought Emil Hirsch could have come and gone. Really, it's one of these weird movies that the main title character is sort of irrelevant to the movie itself.
Right, and I think that's just because the real star of the film are the Wachowski brothers and the visual effects.
Yeah, the cars, the Mach 5. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's the cool car.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
the wheel.
It doesn't. The rest of the story almost doesn't matter at all.
It could be Michael Cera behind the wheel,
which would have been fun.
Which would have been hilarious.
They could have turned it into like a hardcore, like teen comedy.
Yeah. Well, and Christina Ricci is adorable in it. She looks great.
She's hot. No matter what she does.
Again, for the kids, you got Spritel and Chim Chim, who, if you don't know the original,
right.
Spritel's his younger brother. Chim Chim's his chimpanzee.
Right.
And they provide a lot of comic relief for the kids.
For the kids. It looks silly to the rest of us, but, you know, it's a movie for kids.
Seems strangely appropriate, though.
It does. Yeah. So we'll give it a final grade.
I say it kind of rocks.
I'm going to say it kind of rocks as well. I hate the fact that we continue to agree this week, but... I don't know. Two decent flicks. So when we come back, we're going to see how those flicks are going to do at the box office.
All All right, Neil. Now, this is the time where we talk about box office. Last week, box office. This week's box office. Find out if there's another Iron Man big issue happening this week.
Yep.
And the big buzz right now is whether or not Speed Racer is going to have the oomph to knock Iron Man out of the top spot.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen?
Nope.
You no think way. There's no chance in...
Well, here's what Iron Man has going for it. It's not really necessarily even about Speed Racer at this point. It's more about Iron Man. All the good buzz, mm-hmm. all the good reviews, and then it super exceeds what I think the general public or the average movie goer was thinking it was going to do, because everybody was kind of putting it in the $70 to $80 million range, and then it comes out and does 100.
But see,
and I thought that kind of shocked people.
I don't think it did, because everything I was seeing was predicting right around 100 million.
I think everything else was a little lower, and then you had this huge media blitz at the beginning of this week where Marvel came out with their announcement for Iron Man 2 already, and
I don't think that's going to happen.
They made a big deal about the fact that it made 100 million domestically and 100 million overseas, so it's already made 200 million. So I think really if
But again, that's not weird though.
It's not weird, but I think that I think Iron Man has a lot more staying power than we originally thought it would.
See, and this is where I'm going to disagree. I think that this summer is going to be a weekend of opening. It's going to be a summer of opening weekend movies.
The summer is going to be a weekend?
Whatever. No, whatever. It's going to be a summer of opening weekends. It's going to be just every weekend there's just going to be a big movie, and they're all going to get big drop-offs. So you're not going to have a whole lot they're going to carry. This is the thing with Iron Man.
This will be the weekend that'll tell it, I guess.
This will tell, and I mean, I don't think Speed Racer is the strongest, you know, thing that it's going to have to work to knock Iron Man off.
Right.
But Iron Man had such buzz, and it reminds me of what happened with Cloverfield. Cloverfield exceeded expectations, went so beyond it, and then everyone's like, it had a 70% drop like the next weekend.
Right.
And everyone was like, what? Why did it drop so much? And it's like, because it was so hype. Iron Man was all about hype, and I still think it was a good movie.
Right.
But I think most of the people, the push of people who wanted to see Iron Man, kind of already saw Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I suppose.
It's nothing against the movie. I just don't think, I just predict it's going to have a solid, a more than average drop, a larger than average drop.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be. I'm willing to predict that Iron Man's going to, it'll drop 50%, but I still think it's going to rake another 50 million in.
Oh, no.
It absolutely has to, because they're still putting a lot of marketing stuff out there. It's still the wider release. It's significantly wider than Speed Racer is. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. Like, there's a lot of predictions right now that are saying Speed Racer as low as 25 million for the first weekend.
Oh, no way.
But I think it's going to be like 50-40. 50 million for Iron Man, closer to 50 for Iron Man, 40 for Speed Racer. And then what happens in Vegas is going to be somewhere in the 20s.
I think Speed Racer has a chance to at least come close to Iron Man, simply because I think people are going to want something new. Mm-hmm. And with kids, they're marketing this heavy duty in the kids markets.
Yeah.
The awareness with children is ridiculous on this movie. And this is the thing, even though it's long, and I'll tell people, there's two big races at the end. You can leave after the first big race and get out of there in an hour and 45 minutes, and you're not going to feel like you lost anything.
Right.
Because the kids will be satisfied. You know, you're not hinging on, oh my gosh, is this going to happen? I really think that it's one of those, I think Speed Racer is going to be one of those rare movies that people can leave without seeing the whole movie and they don't feel ripped off.
Right.
You know, and the kids will still have a great time watching it. And I don't discount the family audience with Speed Racer, because there really is nothing out there right now you got Nim's Island, Forbidden Kingdom are really the only other kids
and
movies.
Neither one of those are.
Yeah. And I don't think Iron Man plays as strong to younger kids, because the first half is actually kind of boring to a child.
Right. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think is going to happen. I honestly do think Iron Man is gonna win the weekend again. I think Speed Racer is going to be a lot closer than people think. Yeah. But I think the week after, Speed Racer's gone. People are going to start to realize.
Oh, well, like, you got Prince Caspian coming out. It's going to devastate the Speed Racer.
Not only that, but I don't think Speed Racer has a lot of staying power, in the sense that people are going to get there and they're going to realize that it is a long.
No one's going to want to see it over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's not a repeat view.
Which is what happened with King Kong.
I think Iron Man is a repeat view.
I disagree.
I think there will be a lot of people going and seeing Iron Man for a second time this weekend and taking their friends. Because it's surprisingly good.
But see, this is the thing. Iron Man delivered exactly what you'd expect, but it's not one of the, I don't think it's a surprise. I mean, people are it wasn't a disappointment, if it was anything.
I think it's a surprise. It wasn't a surprise to you and me, but I think it's a surprise to some people.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I know a lot of people that, it was funny because last weekend there were a lot of people that, you know, I got text messages and phone calls that were surprised when I was telling them how awesome Iron Man was.
Who? What are you talking about?
And these are people that like read our website. I'm like, you guys obviously just don't clue what's going on.
I was more surprised at the lackluster response you had to Iron Man.
Right. So.
And then you ramped yourself back up into a frenzy.
Yeah.
And now you're like, Iron Man big, I'm starting a trend.
Well, I have to. I've dedicated a year of my life to this movie.
What's your next? Do you know what your big hype for next summer is going to be?
For next summer?
Yeah.
Transformers 2.
Is that what it is?
Well, yeah.
Do you think there's any chance that Transformers 2 is going to suck like Bad Boys 2 did?
No way, dude. No way. Because Bad Boys 2 didn't suck. That's the problem that you're having right now.
It was ass.
Because Bad Boys 2 was awesome.
Whatever.
Everything Michael Bay does is awesome. Let's make sure.
The island? No.
The island was
Pearl
actually...
Pearl Harbor?
I liked the island. I didn't like Pearl Harbor, but I liked the island.
May I quote the great Team America?
Nope.
Pearl Harbor sucked, and I miss you.
Yeah. Anyways.
Are you having trouble staying awake? I'm the one with the baby.
I know.
Who's up with, like, feedings every couple... Which he's not taking it on my boob, but what are you going to do? There's only so much you can do in sympathy.
Yeah,
I let my belly get big with hers, so... But I can't produce milk.
Right.
If I could, that would be really cool. I'm sure there's a
market. You'd never go thirsty again.
Can you do that?
I have no idea.
That'd be fascinating.
I think we've really derailed.
Are we going to do sound off stuff?
Yeah, we got some news topics. Actually, right before the show, we were looking at the G.I. Joe photos.
Yes.
You want to talk about those?
No.
Okay.
I'm not excited about G.I. Joe.
Speaking of next summer's movies, I mean, G.I. Joe is a big one. It's like Star Trek, Transformers 2, and G.I. Joe are like the three big ones right now.
Are you shilling for Paramount here? Aren't those all Paramount movies?
Well, no, it's not my fault Paramount's making all the summer movies. Like, that has nothing to do with me.
They're doing well, though. I mean, they've got Iron Man, they've got Indiana Jones. Then you got The Love Guru, where that's the...
Who's stalking me, by the way? If anyone's read Film School Rejects recently...
Let's hope somebody does.
You'll know that I just wrote an article. I didn't put this in the article, but I actually got from Paramount a poster. And in the poster tube, it was The Love Guru poster. So it's that big one of Mike Myers' face is the Guru Pitka.
Terrifying.
And I actually got this picture where someone in the marketing team took one of my MySpace pictures, a picture of me on a golf course, and Photoshop Mike Myers as the Guru Pitka into the picture and wrote me a little handwritten note. Creepiest thing I've ever received from a studio.
Really? Next,
by far.
Then they're going to be like, we're going to send you a real human ear.
Yes. I'm honestly trying to angle us to get an interview with the Guru Pitka later in the summer. I want him on the show. Not Mike Myers, the Guru. I want the Guru on the show.
Oh.
Because that could be a lot of fun.
Going for the Dewey Cox kind of thing?
Yeah, why not?
Where he was
because that would be a fun interview for us. We could ask him what it's like to sleep with Jessica Alba and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
He'd be like, why are you in such a bad movie?
Why'd you make such a bad movie about yourself?
Why was your head floating on your body?
You know what?
A child?
Here's the thing about The Love Guru. I don't think it's going to be that bad. It's going to have that Austin Powers charm to it.
No, there's a charm to Austin Powers. These are like.
You can't watch the trailers. You have to go to the website.
Don't watch the trailer. Don't believe the marketing, folks. This is going
to
be a good
The trailers movie. Aren't as good as if you go to the website and you watch some of like the mini sutras that he has where he just sits there and it's like him talking.
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely hysterical.
It's going to be like Strange Wilderness, whereas...
I don't know.
The video clips, the parts from the show they're making...
Mm-hmm.
Those are hilarious, where they do the voiceover and that.
Right.
Those are really, really funny. If they had 90 minutes of that and then like a 10-minute story outside of it, mm-hmm. would have been one of the funniest movies of the year, but it's not. It's like 5 minutes of these clips and then like the
All
worst
kinds of crap.
Story imaginable.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like Strange Wilderness. I think it's going to be a lot funnier. Another movie that I think people are getting down on that's going to be actually pretty good is Get Smart.
I don't think Get Smart is going to be bad.
I've seen a lot of
it did not make my.
We've been getting a lot of negative comments on the website.
It did not get my eight. What was it? My eight movies this summer that are sure to suck ass.
Yeah, you want to read that real quick? We got a couple minutes. Hold on.
Yeah, let's go to that real quick. Just talk amongst yourselves.
I've got it.
We promise we'll do this
quicker. I thought I had it. Like
We will do this quicker than trying to make a phone call to ourselves to discover that the number's been disconnected.
Well, you know. Anyways. That's how we roll. Eight summer movies that are sure to suck ass.
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. This is
your list.
Chronological order. Chronological order.
Yes. So it starts Postal on May 23rd. Uwe Boll's movie going up against Indiana Jones. The Foot Fist Way, which was on my list of must-see movies. Blasphemy.
Yeah, but this is just... I mean, Danny McBride's funny as a supporting role, but as a lead, it's going to smell like feet.
Anyways, here's one that I do agree with you on. You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
I've been getting some flames about that. People are like, this is going to be awesome. I'm like, dude, have you seen the trailer?
I don't know. Adam Sandler sometimes has the ability to surprise, but this one does not look interesting at all.
Here's my theory on it. If he speaks with an accent,
yeah,
it's going to be a bad movie. Because I didn't like The Waterboy.
Really?
So there you go.
Okay, so what's next? Kung Fu Panda is next.
I heard that.
I don't...
Alex Billingsley from...
Alex Billington from First Billington, Showing.
I'm sorry, Billington, I got his name wrong. I apologize,
and
Alex.
And Peter from Slash Film have both seen this movie, and they both said that it was good.
Alex flamed me on this one. He was like, what?
Kung Fu Panda? He was there in like 30 seconds.
He was like mad.
He actually wrote his own article and referenced yours. He was so angry.
Really?
That he mentioned Kung Fu Panda. I'll have to show it to you.
Jack Black, though. Is he going to scat in this film?
He does. I don't know if you saw my article. You've been in the hospital with the wife, yeah. But I actually wrote about his scatting because it's in the trailer that I posted last night.
Wonderful.
Next on the list is The Love Guru, which we just talked about, so we're just going to move right on. Hancock on July 2nd, another one that I kind of have to disagree with you on.
Really?
Like, I get the feeling that this one's going to be funny.
I don't know.
And I get the feeling that it's going to be good.
Now, this is the thing. I will give you that Peter Berg will do like the big sort of, he's sort of like Michael Bay light, but he can't do comedy. I thought The Rundown was achingly unfunny.
Yeah.
So, but there we go. What's the next one? Multitasking. Come on.
I know. Meet Dave, which, yeah.
Who's not disagreeing with this? I mean, I think.
Disregard.
I heard that the Pope came out and said this is going to suck. He's like, I like to avoid controversy, but this movie's going to suck.
Yeah. And then finally, The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, the only reason I put it
on there is because it's in August and it just feels like it should be an early release.
It's got Jet Li in it, but I mean, Jet Li against Brendan Fraser.
I actually am looking more forward to Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D.
Yeah, so I suppose. Anyways, cool. So there's Kevin's list of movies that are going to suck. So when we come back, we're going to do some movies about Las Vegas.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And time to come back. Time to do an internet only segment.
Yeah.
It's time to do a top 10 list, and we kind of threw this one together.
Because I was in the hospital with my wife after getting cut open and yanking a baby out of the tubes.
Yes, and actually we have the wrong title on our notes.
But
it's 10 movies you should see before you go to Las Vegas.
Yes.
In honor of what happened in Vegas. We could not come up with anything related to Speed Racer.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Like 10 movies that will make you throw up. That
yes,
10
movies
one.
That will give you epilepsy. That will
that will reveal
you,
your epilepsy.
Reveal your epilepsy. We'll save that one for our Sunday list for next week. But this is 10 movies that you should see before you take a trip to Vegas for various reasons, I think. And we'll start with number 10, Honeymoon in Vegas.
Just because. If you want to know why their Elvis is flying from the sky.
Yeah, sure.
No, this is fun. It's one of those movies that's kind of like, it's sort of an advertisement for the modern Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, it shows you the different things to it that is no longer the 1950s version with Frank Sinatra.
Right. So. Which we'll get to that. And number 9?
Mars Attacks.
Just in case an alien landing happens while you're in Vegas.
Where you can go to survive an alien attack in Las Vegas.
All right, cool.
Find Jim Brown and hide in the signs with Danny DeVito.
Nice. Number 8 is Ocean's 13, very recent film. This is because you should know what to do if building is going to collapse.
No, that's not what you don't see, because you get to see actually how they protect a lot of their games.
Yeah, that's true. It's pseudo real.
It's pseudo realistic. I mean, it's hyper realistic, and you really can't. But they show the whole thing where they have, all the security measures and that sort of thing.
Yes.
I mean, I would say 21 since I didn't like that movie, I'm right. not gonna say you shouldn't. 21 see that
was a little bit more based in reality, but not exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, they do have all the cameras and that sort of thing, and this is how they protect their money.
Right.
And how impossible it would be to actually steal a casino's money.
Yep. And the next one I think is basically just what happens if you get in a time machine.
Yeah. The next one is you should see this to see what old Vegas was like.
Yeah. Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11.
The old school one.
The not original
the,
one.
Not the one with George Clooney, because we couldn't put them on the list twice.
Yeah.
This is the Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. version.
That's right.
So, number six, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. This is basically just in case you go and take a lot of cocaine.
Yeah. If you want to see Vegas, what it's like when you're completely whapped out on drugs.
Yeah.
That's how you see it.
Cool.
Now the more actually,
yeah,
the ones that are like, actually more educational,
right.
The first five were fun.
Yes.
This one is educational. Vegas Vacation, number five.
Right.
Now explain to me why this is on the list.
Because if you go to the Hoover Dam, it teaches you not to fall over the side.
And it also teaches you how quickly you can lose money at the table.
Yes. And how easy it is to gamble if you're underage.
Yeah. And you can get cars.
Yeah. And like lots of cars.
Yeah.
Mr. Papa Giorgio.
And also, you get to see the hot girl from last year's 24, who was
right,
who's like young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that's important.
I don't know either.
So, anyways, let's move on.
Moving on.
Number four, The Cooler. Again, it shows you sort of the inner workings of a casino and what to avoid. And if William H. Macy comes up next to you and can't get cream for his coffee,
right,
leave.
Right, run.
And also, apparently, all women and waitresses in Vegas are whores.
Cool. I'm okay with that.
Seems to be what it says.
I mean, no offense to our lady listeners in Vegas.
Yeah.
none of you.
Who we did like completely alienate at the beginning of the show, where I'm implying that you can go get tsunami victims
right.
for cheap at the store.
You had to bring that back up, didn't you?
That's right. It's the internet only segment. Oh, we're going to talk about poop here in a second.
Oh, jeez. Number three is Go.
Go.
This one was yours.
Yeah, because you shouldn't grab a stripper's ass when you get the lap dance. And really, that's not it, because there's a scene in there where Taye Diggs who does it?
Yeah, I think so.
They get a lap dance in the champagne room, and they're spending all this money, and he grabs her ass, and she completely beats the crap out of him.
Right.
That's also not really true. You can grab a stripper's ass. I don't know in Vegas. I've never tried it in Vegas. But you have to, for lack of a better word, feel her out a little bit. You have to get to know her a bit. You got to buy a dance or two, and you don't need to go to the champagne room.
Right.
Or maybe that's just the way it is in Ohio.
Yeah. Strippers have different standards here than they do elsewhere, I suppose. Nice. And speaking of strippers, number two is Showgirls, just in case you're wondering what does not exist.
Does not exist. But also, it is good to know that, unlike Kyle MacLachlan in the movie, you do not have to pay $1,000 for a lap dance for one song to blow your load. There's cheaper ways to do that in Vegas.
Wow.
Dude, we're talking about Showgirls.
This is true. And number one, you can have it.
Casino. Simply because even though corporations kind of run a lot of the proper Vegas now, it's still run like the mob.
Yeah.
Casino shows you what they do and how, because even though the mob's not there, they still use a lot of the mob's old tricks and they still are somewhat oppressive. This is how they keep track of stuff even before computers. So don't be an idiot.
Right.
And this is basically, watch this movie so you know how not to get pounded
and how not to get killed.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Tell your poop story. So we can get on to the next segment.
This is just something interesting about the observing in the hospital. Did you ever see, you watch Scrubs?
Nope.
There's an episode of Scrubs in one of the later seasons where this woman is experienced. She's got a brain tumor. So she's
right.
They're singing to her. The whole movie is a musical.
Oh, it's
episode.
A musical. I've heard about that one.
And they have a whole song in there that's called Everything Comes Down to Poo.
Right.
And it's amazing how much poop is so significant in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a C-section, the person who has it isn't allowed.
I love how you tell this story like it's you going through all this.
No, you're not allowed to eat solid food until you fart.
Right.
And that's actually the rule. And so she's telling us this, and I'm like, well, and so I asked the nurse, I'm like, do I have to fart before I eat solid food? And she's like, no. And then I'm like, can I fart for both of us? And she's like, no. So then they put us in the room. They put us in our room where we're staying. And we were exhausted because we had to get up at like 5 to go to the hospital and had like 2 hours of sleep. And we just had this emotional experience, had birthing a child. And so I lay down, I fell asleep, and she fell asleep because the kid was getting weighed and checked and bathed and everything. And in the middle of my sleeping, I let one go, and it was loud and it was proud and it was voluminous. And my wife rolls over. She goes, oh, now you're just showing off.
Wow.
And then they won't release you from the hospital until you poop.
Really?
Not me. I mean, although I did do it before I came over here.
Okay.
But that's the rule.
Okay. That's absolutely disgusting story. You know what? You are the reason that nurses fear saying the phrase, do you have any questions? they look at you and they're like, I don't want to know.
They don't know
I've explained to you the procedure. I don't care if you have any questions.
they don't know what to take. Well, what's funny is because you've seen me on the website. If you're listening to this, you probably have seen a picture of me, and I'm not the most sane looking person in the universe.
you're also not the most clothed person on
the website. Well, yeah, I was wearing clothes, but
theoretically,
they're asking my wife a barrage of questions, and my wife and I are really close, and we, as most married couples do, we answer each other's questions.
She's the only person in the world that can take you.
She can only, my kids, they just have to suffer with me until they're 18 and then they can move out or emancipate themselves at like 12. But
one of them's already working on it.
He's already going. He's trying to find it. Another hope. But so I'm answering some things for her and everything. Well, they ask her, they're like asking her, like, you have this disease, you have this, you have this, you have this symptom or whatever. And I'm answering for her because she gets, she's stressed out because she's gonna have a kid here,
Right.
And like they're like, do you bruise easily? Because I guess that's an indicator for something. And I'm like, oh no, she doesn't bruise much at all. And I'm like, what do I sound like? Like I can really
like
whoop her.
Beats his wife.
Because she
does. She does not bruise at all. I throw around all the time.
It was so funny because the nurse looked at me and I'm like, because here I have bald head. I'm like, eh. And I'm like, right. No.
You look like you'd beat your wife.
She never bruises when I hit her.
Though everyone that knows who runs that show.
Oh yeah. And it's absolutely hilarious because the nurses come in and I'll make jokes to them and some of them will like get into it and be like really cool. And other ones will just kind of look at you like, why are you talking? You're a human. You're a male. Get away.
Yeah. They were raised on my side of town.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because there's a whole breastfeeding issue. You don't know any of this because you don't have kids.
No idea. Well, but I don't have any kids that I know.
That you know. Well, you don't deal with breastfeeding if you don't know you have kids.
Nope.
So there's this whole sort of they call it a lactation department, but I call it the lactation Gestapo because they come out there and they tell all these women, everyone can breastfeed. Like only 1% of the people don't. And it's all easy and everything. I'm like, if it's that easy,
so it's like,
why do you have a whole department of people showing you how to breastfeed?
They're like the Jehovah's Witnesses of breastfeeding.
That's awesome. Not as violent as the Gestapo, but I do like the analogy. But what's so funny, on one hand, it's really cool because if you get a cute like lactation consultant, she'll come in there and like massage your wife's breasts to get the milk to come in. And I was watching this happen. I was like, this is awesome. Bring on the sponge bath. But so anyway, so they like keep telling you this. And so she's dealing with the whole breastfeeding issue. But she's had issues in the past. The last two kids were having problems just because her milk didn't come in. And that happens more often than they tell you.
Yeah.
And so she's very adamant. She's like, I don't want the kid to suffer. I don't want the kid to like be hungry if I can't get it out of my breasts. And so she's like really adamant to these lactation Nazis that are coming in. And I'm resisting saying anything because they look at you like, shut up, man. You leave.
Go play with your thing.
Go play with your thing. Make a baby elsewhere. So, yeah.
Wow.
Lactation. But it's funny. You know, it's weird when you have kids because I'll carry my kids around like my other kids were babies and I had them out. I was like at a mall at a play area and this woman comes up to me. She's like, oh, isn't that sweet? What's his name? And I'm like, oh, his name's Liam. She was like, does your wife breastfeed? I'm like, what the hell business of yours if my wife breastfeeds? Shut up. You're like 80. You don't even have breasts. They've sunken down to your knees. Get out of my face that I punched her.
I think with that we'll be right back.
I met Eric. We saw Eric Clapton's baby mama at a breastfeeding class. Oh, did you know that?
No.
My first son was born in the same ward as Eric Clapton's baby.
Cool.
Yeah. And
crazy.
And she was in the breastfeeding class, because what's funny is if you go to the breastfeeding class, all the women, they're still in their like robes,
right?
You know, cause, and they haven't bathed since they gave birth, because you know, you're in the hospital.
Right.
And so here you could see all these, is like about a dozen women and then a couple guys with them, you know.
Right.
And then their robe, messy hair, looks like she stinks, and then just totally made up, great dress on. And I'm like, that's Eric Clapton's wife.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, she's like, just in case somebody has a camera.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Now we can go to break.
Are we done? Cool. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies. We'll be right back. And now it's time to wrap everybody up, and if you're listening to us on the radio, thanks for staying with us.
Because nobody else is. Anyone who listened to the internet segment, they're gone.
Just wow.
They're writing angry letters because they can't call and complain.
Right.
As we demonstrated earlier,
phone number doesn't work. But yeah, we started with a top 10 list in the internet-only segment, and it kind of derailed from there.
Derailed into baby stories, and not more baby stories, but really more...
Not like cute baby stories.
The ugly stuff that happens behind the scenes, yes, of a baby.
But if you're interested, we do talk about Eric Clapton. You can catch us over at fatguysinthemovies.com for that, though.
Yes.
If you're interested. So let's do our DVD roundup. Cool. My pick of the week is Teeth. Speaking of... I don't even know how that ties in.
Just baby development, potentially?
Weird stuff.
Yeah, weird, ugly things that happen with reproduction.
Teeth, as you may have heard, if you haven't heard of this movie, it's interesting concept, but it's
about... We're on the radio for this
segment.
It's
about a girl who has, they call it, am I allowed to say...
I don't think I don't think you can. This is what I used as my...
What can you really say about this movie?
I said it's about a young woman who battles sexual assault in the most peculiar of fashion.
She's got teeth in between her legs.
Yes.
It's
not that you can see.
This thing graphically...
Okay, you can't say that either. There's things... You're going down the wrong road.
Of
Go see Lady Terminator.
Wow.
And you'll understand.
It was the most uncomfortable movie I've ever watched in my life.
There's going to be a lot of bleeping in this episode.
So let's just say this. If you're a guy and you would like to watch a movie that makes you feel very uncomfortable, watch Teeth.
Or you can watch The Hottie and the Naughty. Isn't that your other pick of the week?
That was also very uncomfortable. That actually, if you subtract Paris Hilton from The Hottie and the Naughty, this is what I realized. It's actually not a bad movie.
Yeah.
Because Joel David Moore is pretty good, and Christine Lakin, who plays the Naughty, is actually really hot.
Well, and I've always liked Joel David Moore. I thought he was hilarious in Dodgeball and Grandma's Boy. Brilliant.
Right. So, if you take Paris Hilton out of it, actually not a bad movie. You could substitute a doll in for Paris Hilton.
Which
and
is
that
pretty
movie
much what
better.
She is.
So
she's like a mannequin that sort of moves.
Right. She is
and
the
does
female,
sex tapes.
She is the female version of Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen doesn't have a sex tape, though.
Not
you know
yet.
What? This disturbed me to this week. I'm totally
please tell us what disturbs you.
They are so desperate for sex tapes on stars. Apparently, there's a Jimi Hendrix sex tape.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a little.
Did you see it, or you saw the?
No,
report?
I didn't see the
Who
tape.
Wants to see that?
I don't know.
I mean, okay, I get
the
it.
Marilyn Monroe one. I was interested in.
Oh, yeah,
but that's not coming out
because she's a girl.
I mean, Jimi Hendrix.
Who wants to see
Well, I imagine that? There's like, a female in there with him somewhere.
I would imagine, but okay, so you get any it's adult like, film from the 70s and get the same thing.
Fair enough.
I mean, it was like Jimi Hendrix and Marilyn. Well, that would have been gross because she was dead by then. But if it was like Jimi Hendrix and somebody else who was famous, that would be. I've just offended our producer, Richard, who wandered in
somehow
here.
He's offended.
Like, I don't know how.
We always didn't, you know, thought that was impossible.
But wouldn't that be like kind of coming out and saying, there's a William H. Macy sex tape out? I mean, like, I don't want to see that. He's a great dude. He's a great actor, but come on.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, cool. Your pick of the week.
My pick of the week. I'm not there.
Speaking of old rock stars.
Speaking of old rock stars, Bob Dylan, who does not have a sex tape out,
Thank God. Who
I've not seen his... I never saw his Eric Clapton's baby, but If you, there's an air clap.
Yeah, you're making correlations to the segment where we lost all of our listeners.
So. You don't want to know why I just talk about Eric Clapton. Anyways, I'm Not There is the sort of like the weird telling of Bob Dylan's life with a bunch of different actors. And with the exception of Richard Gere as Bob Dylan later in life, all the actors do really well. And it has like Heath Ledger, Christian Bale, who's really underdone in this.
Cate Blanchett,
who's well-deserving of her Academy nomination and her awards elsewhere, because she's great in it. Even though I wasn't a huge fan of the film, it's almost worth seeing for Cate Blanchett.
Okay. Cool. And the stinkers? Oh, there's two.
Oh, because it's May, so
it's a stinker tie.
Well, all the stuff that came out in January is coming out now on DVD. And the one is First Sunday with Ice Cube.
What's his name?
Cat Williams is in it.
Cat Williams.
And Tracy Morgan. Oh, didn't I go on a huge rant about Tracy Morgan during this one? Yep. Go back and listen
to
that
show. Give me the
map, Scott. What? What are you talking about? Tracy Morgan
from Jan Silent Bob Strike Back. There are like four listeners who just chuckled at that.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Anyways, and the other one is Over Her Dead Body. Eva Longoria
ties in so well with Lake Bell being in What Happens in Vegas this week.
Yeah, and that was the thing, because Lake Bell, she tried, and she is so hot. But that movie was so bad. That is the worst movie with decent actors.
She's so hot.
Well, no, it has Lake Bell, it has Paul Rudd, it has Stephen Roots in it.
Eva Longoria. It's like The Hottie and the Naughty Part 2. Yeah. Eva Longoria, you take her out of the movie, it still kind of sucks.
But I mean, Eva Longoria sort of like sucked the acting life out of everybody in that movie.
Well, it happens.
Because she's so annoying and mean and stupid.
Nice.
Just go on.
Cool. Well, back to the two movies that came out this week to wrap up our review. Speed Racer.
I think kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. We both agreed. And What Happens in Vegas.
Kind of rocks as well.
Yeah, we agree again. So next week we've got The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian.
Woohoo. And that's it.
So that's going to be a rough show.
If you want to hear us flapping our jaw about one movie, entire show.
Kevin's going to continue to tell stories about...
I'll have cute baby stuff.
All right, cute baby stuff. Not the disgusting baby stuff that we did this week.
Well, that has nothing to do with the baby.
It's the disgusting pregnancy stuff.
Yeah, it's all the stuff.
Yeah. So if you'd like to get a hold of us, go over to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes, search Fat Guys in the Movies.
You can't call us.
You cannot call us because apparently the phone number doesn't work. And if you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We prefer email at this point now.
Yes.
So, there you have it.
Bye.
You're lucky your wife has a good sense of humor.